there, grinders, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences that we've gained along the way. Where are my notes?
You're also very, like, phone sexy at the start of there. Hey there, grinders.
Hey, grinders.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, today I wanted to invite everyone into an alternate and fictional world. A world where the law system doesn't work as everyone thinks that it does. And sometimes the good people aren't so good. Again, I want to stress a fictional world. Joining us in this fictional world, I have Ryan. Fresh off a New Year's vacation where he absolutely was not slowly dismembering another person. What is going on, Ryan?
You can't prove it's me because I had a mask on. So,
that's
touche. And it's going well, Sean. How are you?
One, I feel like I just said that you weren't. And by you going into that actually implicates you more.
Implicates me, but I didn't actually say anything. This will become a plot point. Trust me.
This is like one of those I didn't touch you. I didn't kind of thing. Oh, it's like being in a car with a sibling. And over there next to Ryan, I see Kyle tinkering with a cell phone and the world's smallest gun. What's up, dude?
Yeah, I took a writing class. And I wrote this movie, actually. My writing class, I took it at the local Starbucks. For
nice,
one night a week for 2 months, and I produced this, so you're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate
Baby,
it.
Baby, you got a script going.
And finally, only the second person I've ever heard of tunneling into prison, it's Brian.
Yeah, what's well, up, dude? Sometimes you get a feel for an environment, and you're like, I want to spend more time there. Mostly, it starts when you just try to challenge yourself to do a reverse Dufresne.
Mm. What did it for you? What was the thing about the environment that made you go, I want to spend more time there?
Is the posters. I just wanted to dig holes behind all of the posters on all the walls.
Because when you come through the poster, it's almost like you're being given birth again. It's like... you're coming out of the
exactly.
womb.
Exactly.
And then you get to turn around and see who your mommy is.
If you were in prison, Brian, what poster would you hang up to cover the hole you escaped out of?
Leslie Bibb.
Okay. Okay. I like it.
Well, this totally fictional world that we're in where, you know, things aren't so bright and cheery as in reality is the world of law-abiding citizen. And have you guys seen this movie before I brought this to the hypothetical table?
Yeah, I've seen this once before back in 2009-ish when it was released and then forgot everything about it.
Nice. What about you, Kyle?
No, I know of this movie, but this is one of the types and genre movies that I generally try to purposely avoid.
Sick. Triggered Kyle. Ryan.
I had also seen this in 2009-ish, explicitly on DVD. It was first run DVD when I was running the video store, and I saw it the week it came out.
Nice.
At the video store?
At the video store.
That'd have been a good way to watch it.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to hearing your guys' thoughts about this. I was completely caught off guard last week when I learned that this was my week this week.
Surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker. But actually, so on the Patreon that we just recorded for this upcoming Friday, Ryan talked about on long trips what he listens to or what he listens to when he's with Laura. And honestly, what prompted this was Sarah and I have started listening to audiobooks when we're out on drive. So we'll like listen to a book, and you know, when she's home, she's listening to other stuff, but when we're in the car, we have like a book that's playing. And the author, we are listening to a autobiography, and the author like cut to like a flick recommendation, and it was this, man, this was a couple of weeks ago, was for law-abiding citizen. He's like, movie kicks ass, this, that. And I was like, oh man, I haven't seen that since it came out. And Sarah's like, I've never seen it. So made her see it, made you guys watch it again. And yeah, so very hyped to get into this. So I'm going to quickly, for the sake of our listeners, spoilers. If you haven't seen it, go watch it if you want to. Otherwise, that is your warning. Law-abiding citizen tells the tale of a man whose wife and daughter are murdered and the subsequent ramifications of the court proceedings that follow. Clyde is the aforementioned man, and Nick is the prosecutor assigned to this case. Nick has a stellar 93-ish percent conviction rate, which is threatened when it turns out that some of the evidence in this case has been mishandled. With that being said, when the main perpetrator, Clarence Darby, wants to turn state's evidence against his accomplice, Rupert Ames, Nick pushes for it with Clyde. Unfortunately for Nick and literally everyone else in the judicial system, Clyde just wants to see the justice system have a chance to work its thing. A deal was struck, and the wrong person received the death penalty. Now, I said unfortunately a couple of seconds ago, and let me explain why. We are made to believe that Clyde is nothing more than a tinkerer, an inventor of sorts. But boy, howdy does it go further than that. My man Clyde is an inventor of death. A man that can think of ways to have people perish without you even needing to be there. Staying two steps ahead of everything, Clyde and systematically works his way through everyone. Ames, Darby, the judge, the person that probably got Nick a coffee that one time. Everyone that took a breath around this case, all from the comfort of his solitary confinement room in the local joint. In a race to stop Clyde, can Nick find a way as everyone around him is dropping like flies? Let's find out as we start with our first category. Story. Brian, can I have you kick this off for me with the amount of points that are going into this and your thoughts on story?
This is out of 5 points for everybody, all categories. And story, this certainly is a story. There's a story being told here.
1 point in actionometer.
Yeah, it would definitely get 1 point in the kickassometer. This story bothers me. I feel like we're led down a certain path, and then at the very last second, the carpet is pulled from under us, and Nick gets the upper hand, and all of a sudden everything, it's almost like they really wanted this thing to end one way, and at the last second, we're like, I think we're gonna change the ending so that the, quote, good guys win, and it's very, it comes to a head so fast and it feels so forced. And I don't love the ending enough for me to really struggle with the movie as a whole. So for me, I think it's only going to be a 3, and I'm going to kick it to Ryan.
Very well said. How you felt about the ending is how I felt about the entire movie. I really struggled with the story here because the story encompasses the story, the writing, and the dialogue. And the story, I think, it's a great concept. I think this is an interesting idea. Like, I honestly, we fucking reference The Punisher in next week's Patreon episode. And I think this character, Gerard Butler's character, takes shades of The Punisher, and like that concept of like somebody doing what the law can't because the law is adhered to these rules is very interesting. That said, I feel like whoever wrote this movie only read a Wikipedia article about the law and then fucking ran with it, because like everything here hinges off of like fucking like kind of bullshittery. It's a bunch of bad faith arguments from Gerard Butler that are never challenged accurately or correctly by Jamie Foxx's character, which is problematic. So then you just have essentially what is like a Joker-esque character in Gerard Butler venting about society and how society's fucked up and all of this shit.
We live in a society, bro.
Which is like, it's fucking fine. It's fine at best. But like, this movie also came out like a year after The Dark Knight. So like, the Joker kind of fucking parallels are very fucking clear. Mm-hmm. I also don't think, if we're talking about the dialogue and like the back and forth, like part of this is like the cat and mouse kind of thriller aspect, which is, again, very fun. See The Dark Knight that did it a year before. I think this movie struggles with the dialogue because it doesn't let Jamie Foxx's character be slimy or shitty enough of a lawyer to like make any of this like feel tangible. Gerard Butler just kind of goes off of hunches. He sees like the car outside and sees certain things. Sorry, no, he doesn't see the car. That's payoff for later. He sees Jamie Foxx handshake this businessman, and like this like base emotion is all we go off of. Even though like there are like legitimate issues with the law and what Jamie Foxx does, it's these basic stupid fucking human emotions that drive everything. And then Gerard Butler's character, even though he's causing human mayhem through people who don't have anything to do with fucking this, at by the point that law-abiding citizen reaches its resolution, Gerard Butler has offed more people than were actually involved with like this shit that he's railing against in the system. So any morality is gone, and anytime Jamie Foxx's character tries to bring this out, it's met with nothing. So like, he just becomes this psychopath for the sake of being a psychopath, and it's not fucking, it's not clever. It's just not clever. But it like stops the movie and like speechifies at you like it is clever. So then I get fucking angry. This movie kind of made me angry a lot. I don't really like this story. I don't remember really liking this movie the first time I saw it, and this one kind of solidified it. I think the story's bad. I think the dialogue worse, and the writing is awful. I really am not a fan of this one. I'm going to give it a 1 for the concept, but I think it's mishandled really badly. With that, I think Sean's going to be the one who balances me out, because I think Kyle might be more negative on this. We'll see.
I don't know how much I'll balance you out there. I think, listen, I agree with a lot of stuff that you say. I'll also say, like, the handshake that he saw was with the dude who raped and killed his wife, not a businessman. So, but like everything that he says later to like justify really shouldn't have anything to do with that. So like that shouldn't even be a crux of anything here. I do like the idea of it. I think Jamie Foxx's character, I don't think he really needed to be any slimier. Because I think the idea of someone who's just very eager to take a deal to save their conviction rate to make it better to possibly probably go for DA is already kind of like it's playing into I liked that idea of it's a system that just doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work if you play these games of making deals all the time instead of actually prosecuting the things and seeing them out. And so I loved the idea behind that. But you're right, like, fucking Clyde just goes full absolute lunatic. And I think another thing I enjoy about this movie is that you can, depending on who you are, see either person as being in the right or whatever. Now, granted, the people who are watching this movie and being like, Clyde's right, are the Giga Chads of the fucking world. Like, I'm not hanging out with them. Like, half of the time I was like, oh man, that was cool. What he did there was cool. But by the end of the movie, it's like, man, you're a fucking psycho. But ultimately, I enjoyed this movie and it did not make me mad. There are points that I thought were really stupid. Really stupid. And actually, I didn't hate the ending of this movie. So I did see that that was a huge point of contention for people, was the ending. I didn't hate it. So I'm still going with a 3 on that. Long-winded way of saying 3. Ryan?
I would just like to circle back to another issue I have, because I think it only belongs in story and I won't get to talk about it again, is that Clive is this badass person who can plan things 10 years out and he knows so many ways to kill people and we won't fuck with him. And we have like a fucking, we talked to Doug Stanhope from fucking House of Cards and we learn how much of a badass this person is. Yet he opens the door for the inciting incident like a dipshit. And I say that as a dipshit who would open the door in the same way in like the Midwestern, like, hello, what's going on? Somebody this paranoid who this movie tries to make you think is like so devious and planning and whatever, that incident at the beginning with the rape and murder of his child and all this, it starts with him being like really weirdly nonchalant about like his perimeter and security of his house and all this stuff, which it feels like none of this, none of this is consistent. None of this is consistent. And I will say that
I'll go back and say that the guy underneath in the bridge mentioned that for the past 10 years he'd been doing that, which is,
yeah,
his wife and kid were murdered 10 years prior. So like that's not necessary to say at the beginning of the movie he's the same person as he is at the end of the movie or what they're dealing with through this whole time.
But the incident that they reference where he saw somebody, he saw him kill somebody a certain way and like did shit was before the wife and daughter incident, meaning he was a badass for as long as this person knew him, which was long before his wife and daughter was murdered. Longer than 10 years was the inference.
Yeah, I never got the impression, even now, I don't get the impression that he would be the kind of guy that's sitting there with cameras on his perimeter. They're in a nice neighborhood. It's 6 o'clock.
I don't know that he would just let I don't know.
Even in a nice neighborhood in Philadelphia, you're going to have some sort of security set up.
Especially at dinner time. Feels who's coming around at dinner time?
It feels pretty bullshitty how that opening starts.
A Girl Scout. Kyle, that leaves you.
That's Liam Neeson's guys as a Girl Scout might have been more plausible.
Ryan, pass me the ball.
Well, I'm going to pass it to Sean, who will then pass it to you. But yes, you're getting that ball.
Yeah, I would just meant, give me the ball because I'm continuing your rant.
Give me the rock.
Because,
sorry.
This movie, I wrote down, it is essentially called Suspension of Disbelief, the movie. It was crazy how watching it, I was like, so much of this aligns with like a weirdo, like almost right wing, anti-hero type thing. Which is crazy to get from the director of Friday until you remember that Ice Cube is also like within that crowd. And that was really, interesting. I don't know. There's just some wild things. Like, again, You mentioned things that just don't make sense. I was laughing at this man has just blown up 6 of the DA's like lawyers. They're having a funeral with them with the assumption that like police are monitoring everything and there's just a giant robot with a bazooka and a machine gun in the middle of the cemetery that everybody missed.
Yeah, whoops.
Don't know fucking how, but okay, again. Mm-hmm. Suspend that disbelief. Just put it down. I mentioned in the start, I purposely avoided this movie because it always looked like just the type of movie that I don't really like. I dubbed it today. I don't know if it sticks. Call it dadshin. It's a dad action movie. That's how I define it.
Yeah.
Gerard Butler's done a lot of these. Jamie Foxx too. They both did one about the White House somehow.
Both in 2013. White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen.
It's crazy. It definitely has that like. Was this in theaters? I don't know.
It was. Yeah,
I only remember it as like a DVD thing. But that said, I mean it. It's interesting. It's very silly. And also, if this was on the action meter, it'd definitely get points in the butt scenario. We get a lot of butts. especially, I don't know why Gerard Butler feels the need to get naked right before he's arrested, but we get to see the backside of his balls, and that was pretty cool.
So there would be no reason for them to shoot him.
Sure, but they, I mean, you could just have your hands up.
Yeah.
He didn't want to leave. They even
put him in pants before they pull him back. I don't, okay, whatever.
He is a white man. Why are you worried about this?
This is true. That's it, Sean. That's it. You're right.
You're getting it, Sean. but yeah, it is very, very just vigilante like hero seeing. Like, I know of so many dudes that would see themselves and Clyde and see him as a hero, when I think eventually the movie is trying to show you that he's not, even though it's like, hey, isn't this guy super cool? Look, he fucked up all these guys that messed with his family, because that's the basis of everything, is your family. I do get to, like, he is supposed to be the CIA badass, and he's just caught off guard by a baseball bat to the face, and also doesn't know how to escape any of these simple restraint systems. I get, yeah, he's been hit in the face, but he's the supposed to be. He tunnels into a prison unknown.
But he can't get his zip ties.
Again, and I can suspend disbelief because, like, we watch The Substance, but The Substance doesn't ask me to believe in a really, like, grounded reality. Mm. Like, I think this one does a lot. This is a long-winded say. I'm not as harsh, but I'm not as friendly. I'm right down the middle of the middle. I'm at a 2. Because it is followable, but it is also very basic. And, like, Jamie Foxx is a good actor, and he is so goddamn paper bland in this because he doesn't do anything. Everybody is. There's good people in every... Bruce McGill is here? Just fucking cardboard.
Kyle, that is the perfect segue to let you just keep talking.
Yeah.
Into characters. Well,
thank you. Because characters is up next. And I also like to say the name Colm, because he's the Irish actor who's a Philadelphia cop for reasons, and it works. Leslie Bibb, also not bad. Again, everything here is just base. Like I said, it's that Datchin feel. Like, it's not bad, but, like, it's not good. It's like a first run, like, first take YouTube series, almost. It mm-hmm. gets you there. I don't know what I'm trying to get. It just, like, that it's just, they're getting something there. I don't know. It's not great. some of them are okay, but again, everybody's so goddamn bland. If I'm putting... All right, so here's my hot take. Gerard Butler works in the same way that Arnold Schwarzenegger works, in the fact that he's not a good actor, but he's charming and enjoyable to watch. And therefore, okay. I don't know, overall, like, this movie wants to be 7 so bad, I think, at times, and it's not. I'm at a solid 3, an even 3.
That is a really good parent. That's a really good comparison.
So I'm being maybe a little generous, but I want to see if somebody's more generous, and I want to ask Brian to take on character.
Me?
Yes.
All right. Also, I don't really
feel I kicked it to you at all last week, so yeah, I'm making up for that.
Make up for it. I get it. Mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx, Gerard Butler works on paper. That pairing works so well on paper. And when you actually see it in real life here, it's not hitting. And both characters have this moral ambiguity to them where you're, like, not sure who you're supposed to be rooting for half the movie. You're like, am I supposed to be rooting for Clive here? Because, like, he did get done dirty. Or Clyde, sorry, not Clive. Clyde. Or am I supposed to be rooting for Nick, the Jamie Foxx character? Because, like, he should have definitely prosecuted and brought this to trial, but, like, now, like, this is way beyond what he signed up for. And it's just, I don't know, it's difficult. And the way they set up Leslie Bibb's character, it feels like she was meant to do more in this movie. Like, I'm, like, almost, I want to say, like, 60 to 70% sure that she was supposed to be the person working with Clyde on the outside, and they were faking her death with the explosion, and he was Chester, the boyfriend, and they were setting up Nick in the last
That would have been good.
Like, yeah. And I'm like 70% sure that was how the original script went, but like...
No, Jackson movies need to actually fridge two women.
You have to fridge as many women as possible on both sides. That way the men have something to fight for. And you're like, it's okay that they're killing because they're loved ones, their family, their coworker.
His daughter sees a man dismembered. Just tell her it's fake. It's
just tell her movie. It's fake. Yeah, he's a good dad, isn't he? It's just this. These characters are so paper thin and they won't. The film refuses to commit to one of them being the antagonist and one of them being the protagonist until the very end of the movie. And I can see how that might be the point, but at the same time, it's not an enjoyable thing. And I mean, casting wise, I think they did a good job. I mean, the guy who plays Darby, the killer, looks like a total shithead. And you believe like, yeah, no, fuck this guy. Dismember him. I'm okay with it. For some weird reason, I'm okay with you completely tearing this guy apart at the beginning of the movie. But if you kill anybody else, I'm going to be upset about it. What's up, Kyle?
I also wanted to mention, I like how he kills a judge with a cell phone, shows that he can do that, and then everybody else just continues to use cell phones.
Yeah. They're not scared. I did appreciate that the very last thing she said before she got blown up by the cell phone was, I'm a judge, I can do whatever I want. And then it's like, oh, yeah, see, you guys did the
it
thing.
It was karma. Like,
oh, how heavy are your hands? Where you're
hate it.
Mm-hmm. I'm giving this a 2 for characters, and I'm going to throw it to Sean to see what he says.
Man, I'm glad that you brought up Darby's character in here, because Christian Stolt, like, this is like the one character that was full commit, like, know exactly who he is, and just dirt, scum, slime. His antagonizing of Nick in the courtroom, and like just the little jibs and jabs, and to when he gets out of prison and he's just in the room with the naked hooker, and it, like, he is just so slimy, and it is the most commit of a character in this movie.
He's laughing at the guy getting murdered on death row.
Yeah.
He was, like, murdering and raping people.
Yeah, what an idiot. Like, yeah, you fucking ratted this dude out for something he didn't do. Brian, what you said about Leslie Bibb's character is just, that makes so much sense. And honestly,
she was so underused.
I'd enjoy this movie so much more, because I actually, that whole bit with like her boyfriend, and then she dies, and then her boyfriend's reaching out to Nick.
Just out of nowhere, too. Out of nowhere. Just like, oh, look, you got an email from the boyfriend guy and with all the information you need.
We never see this guy, by the way. Never meet him.
Oh, not once in the movie, yeah.
Actually, which is weird. Okay, so now that I think about it, Nick was on Sarah's email.
Uh-huh.
Because it was creeping, sent looking to for her. Yeah, it was sent to her and not to Nick. So now that we've talked this through, it wasn't weird that he emailed him, because he didn't. He emailed Sarah. Which also, I don't know. Tell him that her boyfriend said. Anyways, everybody else in this movie is just almost like, it could just be a blank face walking around. It didn't really feel like anybody really needed to be assigned or was assigned. Or anything, any of the ancillary characters. I'm actually gonna go. I'm gonna go with a 1 on that, and send it to Ryan.
That throws me, because I was not expecting you to go so low.
Pick me up, Ryan.
I don't know that I'm going to pick you up, and I don't know that I really want to, because I kind of echo what a lot of people have already said, which is, like, there are names here, like, some good fucking actors, and
yeah,
I think they're really wasted outside of, Sean, you pointed out Christian Stolt, who plays Darby. I think he is perfectly cast. What a fucking great actor. Perfect casting. that character is way too over the top maniacal villain for me to be believable, but like he is perfect casting. I also really like Josh Stewart, the other one who was put on death row. I thought like even like the little speech he gave was kind of moving, kind of like this is a character actor who did a lot with a little. And there's not much. And I think that's to be said a lot of these characters. Leslie Bibb does not have nearly enough to do, and it would make sense that they killed her off in a weird cut that just didn't work well with the public. So then they excised her out of the movie because, like, she's weirdly underused. Additionally, like, Viola Davis is here.
Yes.
Fucking Regina Hall's here. And they're just, like, one or... well, for Regina Hall... very few scenes. Viola Davis gets a lot more to do, but it feels still like not much of a character outside of like kind of like the Amanda Waller hard ass character that she's been typecasted into, which is unfortunate. But I kind of, it's weird. Like there are some characters I love seeing, but a lot of them are like Sean, where he said like a lot of these ancillary characters just disappear into the background and it's just like as another face. I'm in the middle on this one. I feel like the cast they have is good. They completely wasted them. And even the ones that do a good job are just kind of like lost in the sauce here. I think it's like just a middling two. It's a meh. I'm not like angry about it here, but it's just meh.
Drop me to a two as well, please.
Sure. I did appreciate when Viola Davis's character is swearing in Nick Rice as the new DA that they actually used the actual Philadelphia mayor, Michael Nutter, as the guy holding the Bible for that ceremony.
Nice. Bump me up to a four, Brian.
for Mayor Nutter. A four for Mayor Nutter.
A four and slap a cheesesteak on it.
This is a real Billy movie, damn it.
Ryan, I'd love to keep you talking here. I want you to roll into setting and genre.
Style.
What the fuck is the next category? It has been a lot of
style.
Action.
Style.
Style and tone.
So I have been super Debbie Downer on this movie, and I apologize. I'm going to fix that in style because I do think this movie is shot very well. Edited, fine. I think it's a mess in a lot of ways I've already pointed out, but I do think it's watchable. It's entirely watchable. It is not... There are bad movies that have bad scripts and characters that are wasted that are just a fucking nightmare to watch. And this one's got a decent pace at like an hour 40. It's not bad. It's all... fine enough. I'm actually like, and more so than just being like kind of just fine on it, because I do want to be more positive on this one. The cinematographer, I wrote his name down and then I wrote a bunch of other shit that lost it. Jonathan Sella. He is frequently collaborating with David Leitch, who does the John Wick movies, Atomic Blonde, The Fall Guy, all of those, Deadpool. He's got an interesting style. That said, he also did Soul Plane, so it is all over the place. It's not 100% hits. It's not 100% hits. But I do think how this movie looks, the lighting, the grading, like it feels a little John Wick-y. It's not like the overly saturated neon-y of like the John Wick sequels, but I do feel it's more in like that like kind of first John Wick. You can kind of see maybe how this was like the step up into John Wick even. So I do think the way the movie looks is really cool. I think, man, even as bad as like the writing and all this shit is, like Gerard Butler saying it's going to get biblical and the delivery is like decent. Like it's it's a good moment, even as stupid as it fucking is. So, like, there's a style here. It's good. I'm going to be positive. I'm going with a 3. I'm not going to be overly positive, but I'm on the positive side on this one. I feel like Kyle might be the most negative outside of me on this, so I want to hear what he has to say.
I mean, negative is weird to say because I like F. Gary Gray, and it's weird. I don't know how much I want to get into here compared to direction. But like, I don't know. I can't hate it either. The reason I avoided this movie is because it looked like a Datsun flick. It's shot like a Datsun flick. I feel like the whole movie has that sort of blue filter over it to get that it's cold in Philadelphia. But it's not bad. It's nothing jarring. I'm with you. It's a 3, and I punt it to Shawnee.
I'm gonna be a little bit higher on it because while I wasn't entirely engaged with the characters, and I thought that the story was okay, I thought that what was going on the screen was enough to keep me engaged and not looking at my phone, and I was thoroughly entertained with between the cuts, how things were shot, the transitions to different scenes. I thought seeing, man, that whole thing, like that, the cutting apart of Darby was such a gnarly, even though you don't see anything. It was just so, the lack of what was there to fill in the blanks was just, man, it was gnarly. And aside from that, like, while I don't think music was super prevalent in the movie, there are a couple of notable things in the movie, like the recitals that Nick's daughter had, just cutting between those to like the absolute horrific shit that it's going back and forth between, the music, use of music in that really captivated and kept me going with the movie.
When did they mirror the curtains opening for her thing? What did he do?
When it opened,
the execution. I was like, I did remember that, and I was like, that was actually kind of cool.
It's freaking, yeah, freaking sick. I'm gonna go, man, I really want to go a 5 here. I really liked everything about the style and tone in this movie. Like everything about the style and tone. So I'm gonna go 5 to kind of balance out the 1 I just gave it and punt it to Brian.
I agree with what everybody said here. Some interesting stuff stylistically. I think they did. It is a well shot movie. I agree with Kyle that it has that weird blue filter on it, and your blacks just aren't quite black. It's like that really, really dark gray. You never get that full rich black.
That's just how it is in Philly.
Yeah, it's cold. Save it's gray and blue and there's something about it that's not quite there for me. I don't know what it is. I agree with Sean, the music. I like the score was fine. I noticed it at a couple points, but it was never jarring, never took me out of it. I never went, why is there no music playing right now? I think the stuff they put in there, like when Gerard Butler's character's ringtone is a Slayer song, thought that was fantastic. The scene where he has the meal brought in, the steak, and he's playing music, and then he puts on a louder song for, you know, when he's about to do his moida, and it's just going from The Who to Deftones, and it was just, I enjoyed the music in this more than I thought I would, being a 2009 movie. I went in with very low expectations for the music and was pleasantly surprised. I guess all that to say, it's a 4. Oh, that final scene when the bomb goes off in the,
really
in the solitary confinement, it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like that shot. I thought it was pretty well done, even though it looked like real fake, but it was like
on the outside.
Yeah.
100%.
I was like, okay, so we got Gerard Butler standing and sitting down in front of a green screen. We're going to fill this room with fire. But they do it in slow motion, make it look real cool. And he's like holding that little friendship bracelet. Yeah, I dig it. It's a four.
That part was cool.
Four for style. When
the explosion happened outside the prison, it looked so fake. And I was it was like a Photoshop, like
so they just dropped default in the setting. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. like the default explosion almost.
They forgot to add really the blue and gray filter to it.
Oh, man.
What? A four, you said, though.
Yeah, four.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What do we have left here? We have director. What's before director?
Entertainment value and direction.
Entertainment value.
Brian, entertainment value, kick it.
All right. I'm going to agree with what Sean said in the last round about not needing to look at my phone. At an hour and 40, this doesn't overstay its welcome. It gets a little slow toward the end of the second act, but then it makes up for it by just rushing as fast as it can to the end. I was entertained. I know that we usually talk about some box office stuff in this category too. I mean, it was a very successful film theatrically. It was a $53 million budget, which I ask where did that budget go?
I was gonna say, because that's high.
Jamie Foxx.
I mean, when you consider John Wick was made 8 years later for $40 million, where did all the money go for this?
Jamie Foxx. I bet you Jamie Foxx was commanding a pretty
Gerard Butler.
Yeah, Gerard Butler was pretty big at the time, and the two of them apparently had the opposite roles when production began, mm-hmm. and they swapped.
Huh. Gerard Butler was also a producer, so I'm sure he was double-dipping somewhere.
Oh, for sure. But, like, I feel like I don't know if what would have been... Would it have been better if Jamie Foxx was the conniving...
I'm trying to picture that.
...inmate and Gerard Butler was the lawyer? I don't buy Gerard Butler as a lawyer at all, but also...
No.
I feel like it would have been more accurate... to be like, oh, yeah, this is a guy that would just take the deal instead of actually going to trial. Whereas Jamie Foxx, it's hard to believe a little
they
bit.
They never rewrote this script when he got naked. That was supposed
That's what it was.
Be
it
Jamie
was supposed
Fox.
To be Jamie Foxx's ass. I don't know. I was entertained, but like not over. It's a three. I'm going to go right down the middle with a three, and I'm going to give it to Kyle.
It's weird. It's in that at some points I was laughing, but I wasn't supposed to be laughing.
Yes.
Like I said, the aforementioned cemetery shootout with a giant tank and machine gun and bazooka attached to it. That
I was dying, bro. I was dying.
I'm long.
But I don't know. It was.
You should have. What is wrong with
it
you?
It was somewhat entertaining. It was also a little bit.
I'm a two
bland
as well.
And boring. Like I said, I'm not much, super positive, but I'm not fully negative.
I was kind of
story of my life
bored
with this
by
movie.
This.
I think two, and I'm sticking with that. For
it
the
felt
e-value.
A little preachy at times, and but like Ryan preachy Ooh. By somebody who knew less than you, and like
I should have said
I've
Sean
read shit. I've read this shit. Like, I know Fail. More about, like, the law than the person who wrote this fucking script. Like, I know bird law. You can come toe-to-toe with me with bird law. I know bird law. I don't know. It's a two. I don't know. It wasn't horrible, but I didn't enjoy my time.
The movie just mansplained itself to you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I feel two is perfect. Mm-hmm.
Ryan. It's not about what you know. That it's about what Sean. You can prove in court.
Two feels right. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I didn't hate it, so it can't be a one or a zero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves me.
Sean and... with a U.
Thank you, Kyle. I would have been a four if not for the last third of this movie just trying to jam square pegs into circle holes. And like, while at the end of the day, like I can look at it and be like, okay, well, sure, all of that makes sense or works. So much of that last third just felt like it was just slammed together to make sure it could get to an ending. And Brian, when you said it felt like Leslie Bibb's character was meant to be the accomplice, I'm like, oh man, that would have made that final third probably so much better. But also,
it would have been such like, a satisfying reveal.
But does it? Because like Clyde, if that's the case, like Clyde's still not a likable, like he's not supposed to be a redeemable character at that point. So I don't know. Everything in the last third felt like the equivalent of an exposition dump, but like not an expedition dump. Like just how I feel when something like that happens to just, it's like everything was a MacGuffin in the final third. And that's enough to drop me down to a 3.
Also, does the warden agree to let them blow up his prison? Like, they deliberately blow up a fucking prison.
Here's the thing, Kyle. I'm pretty sure the warden...
The DA doesn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
But he moves the bomb in there.
And the warden gets other people killed, so...
But it's up to Gerard Butler to pull the trigger.
Because he didn't...
He's always got a choice. He can always end it whenever he wants. It's dumb.
Yeah, I didn't even mention... This is like the Saw trap. Like, is
some of it is very Saw-esque.
Saw a murderer.
It's funny that I mentioned the budget, but never got around to actually saying what it made. It did make $128 million. So,
oh, my God.
I did read that they're doing a sequel, and they think it has franchise potential. Like, as of 2022, they were talking about the sequel.
But how?
I don't know.
My absolute favorite part of how much planning, like, the Gerard Butler character did is, I don't know if you guys noticed, but he actually was very nice and snow shoveled all the snow on the roofs for Clarence Darby to make his escape from.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty nice of him.
That was so ridiculous. I was like, that's why? What?
Why?
It's because I'm sure they filmed all the money with the fucking snow on for one take, and it looked like something was wrong, so they had to redo the take, and then they just couldn't have the feet prints there, so they thought it was better to just, I don't know, or maybe they thought he would fall. Also weird that he just runs out and starts shooting at the police immediately.
Yeah. No, okay, so also what I meant to mention in entertainment value is like coming right off the heels of action movie December, like a lot of the crazy, weird, outlandish shit, it didn't even faze me because it felt like I was just still in the middle of action movie December.
True.
So like when you mentioned that that scene in the fucking cemetery, dude, I was dying. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, what the hell? So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kyle, you mentioned him earlier, and I would like you to hop on in and talk to us about F. Gary Gray.
I was going to ask to, so I appreciate you reading my mind and giving me the chance to kick off the director. Because it's wild.
I'm a CIA operative. That's what I do.
He actually planned this 2 years ago.
F. Gary Gray.
One of the worst ones.
I do have, like, I guess, sort of a love-hate thing with this guy, because I like two of the movies that he's done a whole lot, and then I really just am, ambivalent on a few of the other movies. This being one, he did a Fast and the Furious movie, didn't know that.
He sure did.
Yeah, of course. He also did the worst Men in Black sequel. He also did The Italian Job, which is highly rated. I don't like it. Maybe hot take.
I like that movie.
But I do love Friday. It is one of my favorite comedies of all time. And what's crazy with this movie is that it's supposed to be like a tense, like law thriller with like the police and shit.
It's and better it's not than Law Abiding Citizen.
But he's also done The Negotiator.
It's not one I would go back like, and be like, you need to now, like clear granted, time
it
out.
It could be a man's best friend
the
situation.
Negotiator.
I do remember that movie being very, very fucking good, though.
No, and
Ryan is shaking his head that he does not like The Negotiator. So it could be in Apples
Spacey
and
September.
Okay. I should maybe watch it before I try to bring
that
it
opens
to the
it
show
up,
for us
because
all
that's
to
a lot of
to
Hollywood.
Decide if it's worth a trip to. I'm not saying I am bringing it to the show, but but that said, sexual assault-tober?
There. All Spacey,
I know, then
Singer,
we can get Weinstein,
yeah.
Flicks,
Brian Singer, yeah.
But that's it. I've said it enough here that I can't be bland. I think is weirdly enough my description for the movie as a whole, and that drives me to give direction a 2 overall. Even though I think it is pretty well put together, there are some wild choices here, and. Like I said, it asks you to suspend a lot of your disbelief at a lot of points. And it is a bit heavy-handed. So, weirdly enough, he can do some things crazy good. But I think it says a lot where it ends up. So, yeah, I'm at a 2, and I kick it to Sean with a U.
That's a sick. He just was able to make that pay off.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've mentioned a lot of things about this movie, you know, characters and story notwithstanding, that there's some good parts that he definitely had a hand in and putting this movie together. But I just keep going back to that last third, just seeming like if that was what was intended, then I don't know. I thought the first two thirds were well thought out. If contrived, but well thought out, and it was coming together to something that I was enjoying, and
God damn it.
I still even enjoyed the end, but like, it was enough to kind of take me out of it and make me like, really? Right now? Like, this is why you've mentioned his properties twice through the movie, is it's going to lead to this? Okay. So, I mean, I feel like that is enough for me to drop it down to a 2, because even if that was intended, wasn't really great. If it wasn't intended and this was redone, it wasn't done very well. So I think that's enough to drop me down to a 2 or a 3.
I've not seen it.
Err on the side of a 2 for that. And send it to Ryan. Then Brian, you can give yours and tell us
but
what
Vin
the total
Diesel
is.
Diesel does no wrong.
And move into what your pick for next week is.
Yeah, I just want to jump in before Ryan.
Oh, I've seen so many bad Vin Diesel movies where he does wrong.
Man Apart, which is 100%. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Direction.
And it's
F. Gary Gray is such a fun fucking director.
I left the movie theater.
I think he is an enigma. Friday is one of my fucking favorite comedies of all time.
Oh, buddy.
His
highest
rated thing on IMDb in the last, like, I don't know, I want to say like 15, 16 years, is a Pepsi commercial. This tells you like the weird fucking thing. This guy's all over the fucking place. And I will tell you this too. I do have a passion. I do have a soft spot for him because F. Gary Gray got his start in music videos, did a lot of them. Outkast, Southern Playlist of Music, Cadillac, and Miss Jackson. He did Miss Jackson. This is great. That said.
What?
That said, I do feel like he is kind of one of these directors who is like a director for hire. If you have something at the last minute and you don't have a director, I think he can come in and he is competent just enough to make something work. But he doesn't really have his own style.
Sure,
he doesn't have his voice.
For
he doesn't
real?
Have that anything goes, that defines... What is an F. Gary Gray project? What is an F. Gary Gray joint, if we want to go that way? Spike Lee has a voice. You can see that in all of his shit. If it's like a 3-minute music video versus a movie. F. Gary Gray is just this journeyman director, and that's fine. That is completely fine. No disparaging that. We need those. That said, I don't think he brings anything special. And I think that's really clear on Law Abiding Citizen and a lot of his stuff. So I'm right with Kyle. It's a 2 for me. Brian, wrap us out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you guys. There's something to... You look at this man's work, and it is so all over the place. It blows my mind that the movie that he directed after this one was Straight Outta Compton. Like, it makes no sense stylistically. So, like Ryan was saying, he doesn't have a look. He doesn't have that thing, that director calling card, that where you look at it, you're like, oh, this is an F. Gary Gray movie. And it's very obvious here. I feel like there must have been a lot going on behind the scenes here that we don't know about and we'll probably never know about, because who cares? Like, knowing that the J.D. Fox and Gerard Butler roles were swapped, who knows how close that was to, you know, last minute. But I know that there were at least 3 more takes of the script after that change happened. So, like, there's a lot here that's kind of unforgivable, but at the same time, it's shot competently. Like, it's a good-looking movie. It's edited funky, but, like, I don't know. All that to say, I agree with you guys. I can't go any higher than a 2. So what that is going to do is give Law Abiding Citizen a total score of 49.
That's so high. Oh.
Which kind of tracks, because if you look at the Rotten Tomatoes for this, it is a 25% critical score and a 75% audience score. This thing.
That is a fucking swing.
Huge swing, but we are smack dab in the middle of it. On IMDb, it has a 7.4, which is unreal. I don't know how it's that high on IMDb. It's only a 34% on Metacritic and exactly twice that on Letterboxd with a 3.4. So, like, this thing is all over the place. Nobody knows how they feel about it.
That is wild. When I went to send this to you guys, I just did a quick look on IMDb and I'm like, okay, how is this rated? I don't want to be sending a dog shit movie to these guys. Like, oh, 7.4. Like, oh, damn. I don't remember it being that good, but
yeah.
All right. And then taking a look at your little cheat sheet here. Yeah. Like, God,
I found a Reddit thread of reviews who were really upset with Jamie Foxx getting one over on Gerard Butler at the end of this movie, and it really like
all the giga bummed me out today.
Being like, oh yeah. You did something to my family, I'm gonna blow up everything. I'm gonna blow up all of Philadelphia. The system's broken.
They're gonna have a
that's true.
Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys.
Problem number one was going on Reddit, reading the comments.
Yeah.
We all know better, but it's, I don't know. Do it. You just like,
sometimes it's
like
the best source of information though.
Yeah. Do it. Well, that does it for me this week, guys. But Brian, it is on you next week. And you said you were ready prior.
Yeah.
To the recording, but we are not ready.
You are not ready. I've been ready for this one for a while. Now, it would not surprise me to find out that some of you might have seen this before. But all I know about this is what I've been told through the internet and seeing things about this movie. It's been on my list for weeks now. And one that I've actually hinted at a little bit. And my favorite thing about this movie when I was looking it up, try to figure out if I was going to give it to you guys or not, was the number of reviews on Letterboxd that are 1 star or half a star with a heart. Yeah. Yeah. So while Sean was worried about giving us a dog shit movie, I know that I'm giving us a dog shit movie.
I love you.
It is, a beloved dog shit movie by some, and others are wondering how it even exists.
All dogs go to heaven.
All dogs. How did you do that? How did you guess?
Oh, no. I know.
Wait, what?
One of my favorite reviews that I saw for this movie, before I tell you what it is a 1-star review that says, it's kind of like My Big Fat Greek Wedding through the works of John Waters. It's common knowledge that Gary Oldman has played some iconic roles that totally dwarf the one he plays here.
Oh, man, we're going tiptoes.
We're going tiptoes. We are watching Tiptoes.
I've seen Tiptoes. I've seen this.
I assumed that if anybody had,
he's on his knees. Oh, yeah. Sean, are you familiar
with the movie Tiptoes?
I'm familiar with Gary Oldman, Brian.
Okay,
Gary Oldman is not the most offensive thing in Tiptoes. I'll tell you that.
Beckinsale.
Oldman.
I don't even think Gary Oldman's offensive. So,
well, in this movie, he's playing a little person.
No,
he's playing a little person.
And I have not seen
the twin brother of Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm. Who opens the movie getting sucked off by that one girl? The British
cast
chick.
Of this movie is insane.
It is.
I like Kate Beckinsale.
But I know will be probably walking on tiptoes while we talk about this.
Yeah, tell us more about it.
This guy. I love this, Brian.
What is this movie, boys?
This cast is bonkers.
I don't know if it was, but this would have been perfect on your and Dave's new show that you guys are rocking with.
You just watch the B Movie Boys.
Every week, I'm surprised you watch B Movie.
But thank you for bringing it to us. But yeah,
I thought it would be a fun little segue.
Yeah.
We talk about B movies.
Every episode, you just talk about the Jerry Seinfeld movie.
Do you like jazz?
But every week it's faster.
But every week it's faster.
Every week it's faster. It's the same.
It's not a bad idea. No, it's all, you know, low budget schlocky pulp. Is this pulp, a grindhouse beer
me a movie back and forth? Is this horror, somebody's sci-fi, pick? Is this
you
your
know, those
pick or
low
Dave's
budget
pick?
Shitty movies of your and of somewhat current. Our first episode comes out on January 21st, and it is going to be Birdemic Shock and Terror. Shock and Horror.
Nice.
Shock and Terror. I don't know. Birdemic. So.
I will say
we have already assembled our entire first year of movies, but we are keeping our communication channels open for suggestions.
Nice.
So.
Wow.
The content has been mapped.
Tie-in, one of my favorite things to do on the old beer meets and stuff was talk the B-movies with you guys. And I have recently discovered how amazing Tubi is, and Tubi has a reference to some people should go look this up. They have Tammy and the T-Rex, and I am going to show that to Mandy tomorrow night, and I am very excited about that because I discussed that with you and Dave at one point.
Yeah,
and it is such a treat of a movie, and you guys have great taste in B movies, and everybody should go listen to that, and I can't wait to as well.
Thank you, boys.
And I hope you call me to be on a couple. Subtle plug.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But if between here and the B Movie Boys, can't get enough of Brian, and you want to hear more Brian.
You know you do.
You want to hear more Brian.
Y'all bring in the heat. I'm Brian.
Do not lie.
If you don't listen to more Brian, you're going to be crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't want to be crying, so head on over to patreon.com/experiencegrind.
And start prying, open them wallets.
And give us your fucking money. So patreon.com/experiencegrind. You can find a link to that right in our linktree/experiencegrind. As little as $49,000 or $1 USD. You can get bonus episodes every Friday, except for the ones that we don't put them out like last week because it was the new year and we didn't have time. But almost every single week, there is a bonus episode over there.
Suck it.
It's a lot of fun. So head on over, check that out. Join the Discord from the Discord. Join the Discord from the link tree and
come hang out and chat with us in the Discord.
We love you guys.
Yeah. And if you're not down with that, I got two words for you. No.
Pizza's Hawaiian.
Justice.